to impact you with that thought. Read it again and again and again and again and again. Chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. I just want you to notice the word praise in our verse. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. That's it. I'll read the next verse. It's 14. Is any sick among you? And that's always a possibility. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them, the elders, let them do what over this boy? You tell me, let them what? So there it is in my second verse. Let them pray over him. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. And the something about faith. Tell me. And the what of faith? And the prayer of faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. I'll talk about that a little bit. Verse 16, let me keep reading. Confess your faults one to another. Get ready, here it comes. Confess your faults one to another. And what? Do what? Pray one for another. It's been in every verse so far. That you may be healed. The effectual fervent of my soul. It's in this one twice. Prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Verse 17. Elias, that's the New Testament's expression of Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he did something. He did it earnestly. Would somebody tell me what he did? He prayed, been in every verse. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and guess what? It rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Does anybody believe that happened? 3 years and 6 months without rain? I'd say that's a prayer God answered. What do you think? Then the last verse I'm going to read, 18. It'll be 100% if I can find the word pray or prayer in this verse. And he did it again. What did he do again? He prayed again. This time the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. A text, a paragraph about prayer. Y'all ready to get started? Anybody hungry to get started? Anybody willing to ask God to open our eyes that we might behold some beautiful truths out of His Word tonight as we get started? Is any among you afflicted? The word there for afflicted uses the little Greek verb pascho, P-A-S-C-H-O, as in the paschal lamb. Here's what it means: suffering, bleeding, hurting. It can mean dying. That little lamb certainly did as a sacrifice. Is any among you afflicted? Now, I'll show you something else. That's the first verse in the text, nearly the first word. Near the end of our text, when he gets to talking about Elijah, end of our text, he is a man subject to like passions as we are. That's Pasco again. All I'm trying to say, this paragraph begins with suffering and it ends with suffering. It begins with hard times, and it ends with hard times. I'd like to make an announcement. If you're going to live for Jesus, you're going to have some hard times also. The Holy Ghost has framed this text with hardship and suffering. He has enveloped it with this very thing. What do I do when I'm having trouble? What do I do when the bottom's dropped out? What do I do when hard times come? I'll take an amen. I pray, I pray, I pray. These three sermons are ending up like they started. I'm going back to chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into let him pray for wisdom, and God will give wisdom. Hard times. Well, verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. The verb pray here, and these preachers can tell you what it means better than me, it is written in the imperative mood. What is the imperative mood? It is not a request. It is not a suggestion. The imperative mood is a stark command. James doesn't give a lot of suggestions. James is one of the most commanding preachers in the Bible. And he says, if you're going through hard times, if you're afflicted, if you're suffering difficulty, there's one thing you better get down. There's one thing you better do. I command it to you in the name of the Lord. Help me, y'all. You better pray. They sang it. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Pray. Now, I want to talk about that verb pray. It's the predominant thought in the whole text, so I'd better listen to it. It's Greek. Here's the noun for prayer. This is a verb, but I'm going to give you the noun. Prosuke. Now listen to it. We'll say it again. Prosuke. Prayer. Something about me wants to learn a little about that word. What in the world does that mean? Prosuke. Why did the Holy Ghost choose this word for prayer in this verse? Prosuke. Listen up. Pros. The first syllable, the prefix. It's a preposition. That man of God up here will tell you it means to or toward. Pros is used, can become the Greek noun that means face. So whatever prayer is, it's got something, hold my Bible, if you look, it's got something to do with going to or toward or in the presence of are before a face that is awesome, magnificent, worthy, and powerful. You don't reckon the New Testament teaches me I can go to the very face of God in prayer? We are so invited to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's just the pros part. Prosuke. Suke. That's a little word that means suke itself means a desire, a longing, a craving, a want. You mean prosuke means I can go to or toward him, get right slap in front of his face and give him a desire of my heart. Express a craving I have. Express a longing I have. Get some amens ready. That's exactly what this word means. This is the same James that says you have not because you ask not. I'm glad we've got the privilege of prosukeing tonight. I'm glad I can go before an almighty God to His very presence, and I'm glad I can give Him the longings and the cravings of my heart. And he said, that's what I ought to do when I'm suffering and I'm going through hard, trying, difficult times. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Y'all all right? We're off to a pretty good start. I'm moving much too slowly. I must speed up the pace. Still in verse 13. Oh, look here. Here's another question. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Merry. Oh, I love that word. It is only found three times in the New Testament. Once, obviously, it is translated merry. Is any merry? The other two times, honest, you can look it up, It means be of good cheer. All right, that you're not getting that apparently. Be of good courage. All right, I'll try it again. Be strong in the Lord. Some folks have to, everybody James is addressing is going through the fire. Everybody James preaches to is subject to trial, difficulty for their faith's sake. I quoted it last night. Listen to how he starts. James 1:1, to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. You know why they're scattered abroad? The Roman government has run them out of town. They have lost their homes. Some of them have lost their lives. They've lost their incomes. They're scattered for Jesus' sake. So when that comes, pray. But if you're merry, what? If you are of good cheer, if you are of good courage. Now, I'm having trouble here. Can everything in your life be going bad and you still be of good cheer? Can you be facing one difficulty after another and something down in your heart give you courage to fight the battle yet another day? I'll get off track, but I'm interested in the Holy Ghost right now. Seems like He's prompting my heart. Well, Jesus' favorite name for the Holy Ghost is the Comforter. These preachers will tell you the name is Paraclete, and that's beautiful, but I'm not going there. I'm going to stick with the English word Comforter. Has the Holy Ghost ever been of comfort to you? Comfort, what does it mean? Well, you, brother, I'm going to illustrate with you. You just be still if you would, if you don't mind. We usually think comfort means this. You poor little fella. I love you. I'm sorry you're going through a rough time. No. That's not the word comfort. It's got a Latin background. Comfortus. C-O-M, the prefix. Again, a preposition means with. Fort. Fortis. It is our word fortitude. It literally means with fortitude, with courage, with determination, not being a scaredy cat, going to run the race and fight the fight to the glory of an almighty God. If the Holy Ghost comes on us, He'll give us some gumption. He'll give us some fire. He'll give us some strength. Thank God you can be suffering and still be of good courage. Hallelujah. And if you are merry tonight, James says you ought to learn how to sing psalms to our Lord. Didn't that Smarts Grove choir do good tonight? Found myself wondering this afternoon. I thought, wonder who'll sing tonight. Saturday night's bound to be one of the hardest nights to get a group together. We're all going to Sunday school and church in the morning. We're all going to Sunday school and church in the morning. But most of us are going to Sunday school and church. They got up there. Our brother's playing that instrument. I love to hear him play. They got the cut and loose singing. They put their heart in it. The verb is psalmo. P-S-A-L-M-O. And it's beautiful. It means to play an instrument, to pluck some strings to the glory of an almighty God. I'm glad things can be going wrong and I can still sing for my Savior's. James practiced what he preached. Verse 14, if you'll notice it with me quickly. Is any sick among you? You know as well as I do, you get a crowd together, there will be someone sick. But, and preacher, I don't know, I may get in real trouble here. I'm going to define some words literally. So that word for sick literally means without strength. Without strength. It applies to physical sickness without strength, but it can equally apply to emotional sickness without strength. See if you'll go here. And to spiritual sickness without strength. It can mean somebody's discouraged, somebody's down, somebody's begun to doubt. That person is sick in a healthy spiritual sense. Is any among you, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. If we're going to state, every verb so far has been an imperative, a command. Let him call for the elders. James is not giving a lot of leeway. Call for the elders of the church. Now let me say this. Am I making an announcement tonight? I'm doing my best to preach my text. My text is infallible. I am not. There are no mistakes in what this says. But I can't guarantee you there won't be any mistakes in what I say about what this says. I am a human being. And I can only give you what God has given me as I have prayed to the best of my ability to discern. Let him call for the elders of the church. James never once uses the word pastor. You can read all 108 verses. It's not there. The only times he hints at leadership in the church was chapter 3, verse 1, where he said, be not many masters, teachers. And now right here, called the elders, the word gives us presbyterian. It means the older, the more seasoned, the wise men there at God's house. Are you all okay with me to this point? If you're sick, if you're weak, call for the elders of the church and let them come. Here's what I really think's going on. And again, you don't have to agree with it. I think this person's prayed for himself to no avail. God has not intervened. They're still sick. There's still problems. He said, if you prayed for yourself and there ain't nothing happened, get a bunch of godly people around you. Call the elders of the church. Get some people who've walked with God. Get some people who can get an answer to heaven. Help me. Get them praying for you. Are y'all all right with that? And you got every right to say, well, we come to hear a sermon. We didn't come to hear nobody just talk about Scripture. Excuse me. We might do with a few less sermons and a more talking about Scripture, if you want my opinion. Tell me what God's Word says. Well, at any rate, let him call for the elders of the church. Oh, boy. Preacher, it's just like you plow 6 inches and you turn up some little nuggets. The elders of the church. Church. The word, as you would suspect, is ecclesia, called out assembly. That's the first, we're in chapter 5. That's the first time James has used the word church. And he pastors one. He did mention a gathering of believers. It is back in chapter 2. We're not going to turn. He said, I saw this happen. The assembly had gathered and said everybody was sitting there ready to start the service, and in walked a rich man. Well, y'all aren't with me, I can tell, and that's all right. I'm not going to get on to you. Man with some gold, Greek says gold-fingered. He got some gold on his hand. He walks in. Somebody sees him come in, and they run out some poor people, move them out of the way, and give the rich man the best seat in the house. By the way, that brings on another sermon from James. I can't deal with it. I'm going to put one sentence in and get back to my chain of thought. Don't ever let Burke County Camp Meeting become a place where the rich are important and the poor are not important. I sure am glad my Savior loves rich and poor alike. I sure am glad He died that whosoever will might be saved. I'm glad I don't have to buy my way to glory today. Anyway, all that commotion, that happened in the assembly. That's the closest James gets to a church. Listen to the word for assembly in chapter 2. Listen. Synagoge. Synagoge. What in the world is synagoge? It's the word synagogue. Synagogue. Now, y'all don't look now. That ain't where the Christians meet. That's where the Jews meet. In James 2, James is still calling it the synagogue. By James 5, I'm going to need a hallelujah or an amen or something. He's graduated and he's calling it the church. Amen. I want to make an announcement tonight. This ain't no synagogue. And I started to beller out, this ain't the Sabbath. Well, if it's sundown, it ain't the Sabbath. Hallelujah. But it's close to it. But that's not why we're here tonight. We're not here to observe the law of Moses. We're here to celebrate the grace of an almighty God. I'm dangerously close to saying James grew a little bit in grace from chapter 2 to chapter 5. Y'all hear what I said? I have no doubt in my mind, and preachers, there are enough of you here, I'll just throw out a little challenge. Study Paul's earlier epistles and then study his later epistles and notice the different emphases. Notice how Paul seems to grow and to mature and to deepen in his faith the further he walks with God. I think I'll say this. Y'all can bear witness or just stay quiet. There's never been a Christian but that he or she had to grow in grace except for one exception. That's Jesus. He got here perfect and never did a thing wrong. James is growing in the grace of God. We ought to, that's why we're here at Burke County. Ought to be further along next week than growing in the grace of God. I'm 100 miles from praying for the sick in the church and the elders gathered around. Let me get back. Said anointing. Let me get to my verse. Anointing, what verse am I in? Somebody kindly tell me. 14. Any sick, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let them pray over him. This is so neat. This is not prosuke. Holy Ghost drops the prefix. This is just uke. Uke. I guess he figured you got that many spirit-filled men together, you can drop the pros. You just go uke. You just get right into the presence of an... You know what's wrong with some of us tonight? If we had to pray, it'd take us 15 minutes to confess our stinking sins so we could pray like we are. These men didn't suffer from that malady. They prayed over this sick, weak, or discouraged individual. And guess what? I got some good news. God answers prayer. Amen. Pray over him. The little preposition there, over, and I'll never get through with this text. And I realize I'll just get as far as I can. Hold on. They pray over him. The implication is that they touch him. And I know the word anointing is coming up in just a minute, but before I get there, they touch him. They are physically manifesting their presence there. It reminds me of Elijah. We're fixing to meet Elijah. James is going to bring Elijah into this discussion about prayer. Remember that little dead boy? And Elijah came on, and Elijah laid on top of that little boy, and Elijah prayed. Y'all nod like you remember it or not, if you would. And it'll help me. And Elijah laid on him, and God Almighty brought life back. Hey, prayer, prayer, the power of prayer. They've been souls saved because God answers prayer. They prayed over him. And quickly, verse number 14, it says they anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. They anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this ought to take 30 minutes and it's going to take 4 or 5. They anointed him with oil in the name of the Lord. First thing I'm going to say, get me some witnesses if anybody agrees. I believe that verse with all of my heart. I've done it when folks have asked. I'll do it again should somebody ask. I believe God is a God who heals our bodies. Oh my. I'm going to say it. I do not believe in divine healers. But I do believe in divine healing. I do not believe there are men today gifted with the ability to touch and heal bodies with their charisma and with their power. But I do believe there's a God in heaven who made these bodies, who is able to heal the bodies he made. And James is on the right track here. That oil could be, I don't know definitively that it is, that oil could be a picture of God the Holy Ghost. Here's some praying men. Here's the Holy Ghost of God showing up. They're asking God to heal him, and mark her down, God can heal. But I'm going to say something else here. Don't upset anybody's apple cart. If you get mad at me over this, tell me afterward. It'll do me good. It might teach me to keep my big mouth shut or something. I don't know. I welcome the interaction. Anointing with oil. The word there for anointing. There are two words in the New Testament for anointing. It is the word that merely means to rub on or to massage. He did not choose the word that is the religious, ritualistic word. Now, I already told you I believe in anointing with oil and God can heal. Hadn't changed my mind. But oil in the New Testament was not only an emblem of the Holy Ghost. See, forget an emblem. It was also a medicine. I'm looking around. It was a medicine. Yep. Don't you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? That fella, and he's laying down here half dead. Well, the priest don't want to help him in the liver. Here comes this good-for-nothing, low-down, old, dirty Samaritan. He sees his name, and he gets down there, and he begins to minister to. Seemed like he used some wine, but it seemed like him, those gaping wounds, am I right or wrong? He poured in some oil. It is medicinal. It is an antiseptic. It'll help those wounds and it bound up the. It is medicine. James could, in a secondary sense, be saying this. Go to that sick person. Love them. Pray over them to the glory of God. Anoint them with oil. Tell them to take their medicine. It's all right to go to the doctor. It's all right to take the therapy. It's all right. Could I get an amen there, please? There are religious groups who would have a fit at what I'm saying. They'll say, we don't believe in doctors. We don't believe in medicine. I just want to tell you something tonight. any healing that ever gets done, it's not the doctor that healed. It's not the prescription. It's an almighty God that did the healing. And I just want to say something. If you got high blood pressure tonight and you say I ain't going to take no more medicine, I'm going to trust God to heal me. You go ahead and trust God. I'm not saying He can't heal you, but I'd give you a little bit of advice. I believe I'd pop a pill every now and then. I believe I'd take my blood pressure medication all along. You might get to heaven a little quicker than you planned. And that's what I worry might upset somebody in the process. Then there's a third thought I think I want to throw out. Read this the other day. I've pondered it. I've prayed about it. The man said that anointing with oil. Here's what he believes it is. He said in the Old Testament, particularly Ecclesiastes, the books of wisdom, anointing with oil, and the scripture says it, it'll make your face to shine. Now, y'all aren't dumb in the Word of God. It says it'll make your face to shine. You put on oil to reflect the radiance, the glory, and the happiness of who you are. You put on oil as a fact that you're joyous in the Lord. Said you didn't put on oil to go to bed. Oh no, you put on oil to go out. You put on oil to be seen. You put on oil to go pub. And this is what that scholar said. He said, I believe they're anointing with oil, saying, you're sick right now. We're fixing to pray. You're going to get better. You're going to get well. You're going to be up and out. Get ready. It's coming. God's going to touch you. Hallelujah. I sort of like thinking about the fact God can do it if He wants to. That wouldn't be the faith of the sick man there. That'd be the faith of them elders. We're praying. God's going to do so. Does anybody believe God answers your prayers? Yes, He does. I got to get to that next verse, which is verse number 15. And the prayer of faith, it'll save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Are y'all all right? I'm about 35, 40 minutes into the sermon. Are you all right? What do you mean? The prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise him up. I'll make an announcement. You can get by with it at Burke County. A lot of places wouldn't have it. God does not always heal. I mean, this is going to sound cruel. It's not always God's will to heal. Do you ever think about it? You're going to go home somehow. And if the Lord don't come rapturous in the reasonably near future, there's some of us that are going to be leaving here. By the valley of the shadow of death. God's going to pick out some avenue to get us out of here, folks. I hope we all don't die in a tragic car wreck. I must be playing with your emotions the way you're. Some of us going to have a heart attack. Somebody's going to get cancer. Somebody's going to get an infection. And when we get that sickness that God has deemed our way going out of here, God's not going to intervene. God's not going to heal our bodies. He's going to, I'll need an amen, promote us to glory. It's not always God's will to heal. But I'll tell you what, whatever the outcome, wherever it goes, He'll be with us through the whole process. Hallelujah. Brother Babel, you're making a mess. It says that God shall raise him up. Oh, I got some good news. God is going to raise him up. That don't say when God's going to raise. Heck, God can raise him up from the bed day after tomorrow, or God can raise that body the day that he raptures the church. Hallelujah. Are y'all with me tonight? Like that winter either way song, isn't it? Verse 16. No, not yet. Into verse 15. If he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. This boy on the bed. If he's committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Now watch. If a Christian sins and sins habitually, repeatedly, serially so, I hope you'll amen, he's liable to get sick. All right, let me tweak that a little bit. He will be punished of God. He will be chastened. In 1 Corinthians 11, some of them got sick. Paul may say, some of you are sickly because. Some sickness in the lives of us Christians can be due to sin. But all sickness in the lives of Christians is not due to sin. Maybe I need to say it a different way. Hey, we're at the point in the sermon, if you're getting it, you need to do like this. Because if you just sit there like a wooden Indian, I'm going to tell it again. And if I keep telling it again, it makes it longer. That was the problem with Job's friends. Job is sick, and they're sure he's a hypocrite. They're sure he had sinned. You must be a very wicked man. And Job had not sinned. Job was not a hypocrite. Does anybody agree with that analysis? But we are wise if we get sick. We are wise if something happens. We are wise if a reversal comes our way to examine ourselves. To say, Lord, where have I failed you? Lord, have I missed the mark? Lord, have I fallen into iniquity? So, and we ought to at least do that. They're doing it. And if this man's committed some sins, God can forgive him of those sins. Let's go to the next verse, which will be verse number 16. Confess your faults one to another. I don't have time to deal with that. Confess means to say it out loud. Just to confess your faults one to another. Yeah, it is a while. The word faults means this. It uses the root, the stem uses the little verb pipto, which means to fall, like a leaf falling from a tree in autumn, to fall, petal falling from a bloom of a flower, tiptoe. Then it uses the word para, to fall around or in the vicinity of some. Said, every one of us occasionally slips up, messes up. See if I get an amen. Every one of us is prone to errors and mistakes. And those errors and mistakes can become a repeating offense. They can become habitual. They can become sins that easily beset us. Boy, I think I'm losing you. I don't want to do that. When you've got a weakness, when you've got a fault, James is not just saying, James is commanding. You ought to get a brother or sister in Christ, somebody grown up enough they can keep their mouth shut. They won't blab it all over the church. Confess your fault to them. Get them to pray for you. Get them to help you stay accountable and living right. It's gone. Nobody does it anymore. No Baptist will admit they've ever messed up. But James is on to a good idea here, ladies. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. That uses the word for doctor. That you may be healed. Watch this. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can y'all stay with me 11 more minutes? Now I wish I hadn't asked the question. Can you stay with me 11 more minutes? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth. How many of you in this building are saved? Raise your hand. I want to say, you're saved. Not ashamed of you. That's not everybody. That's pretty near everybody. That means you're righteous in His eyes. Some of you are looking shocked. If you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, He don't see any sin in you anymore. You have been justified. He gauges you by the righteousness of our Savior. You're righteous. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Effectual, fervent. Two words, preacher, it's one Greek word. It is the word that gives us in English energized. Energized. Effectual, fervent. God doesn't like dead prayers. God doesn't like half-hearted prayers. God doesn't like hypocritical, insincere prayers. You know the kind of prayers God likes? Energized prayers. Lively prayers. Energetic prayers. Can I get an amen somewhere? He likes it when we pour our heart. The effectual, fervent prayer of a right. That doesn't mean you got to make a lot of noise when you pray. Doesn't mean you got to be running around the room. But it means your heart's got to be in it. When you... The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer. A new word. This is not prosuke. It has been all night. Now, prayer, it's the word diesis. Important. Diesis. What does that mean? It is not prayer in general. Diesis is this. You'll get it. A petition. Preacher, it's asking God for something particular. It's taking your greatest need, presenting it before an almighty God. Could I make an announcement? He does meet needs tonight. An energized prayer of a saved man or a saved woman, telling him exactly what you need, telling him what your loved one needs. It availeth much. It availeth much. Availeth. It availeth much. Uses a little old word, ixus. That's the heart of ixus. What in the world does it mean? It is the Greek word for physical strength. Sheer brute strength. All right. It says you pray energetically. You give God your needs. He'll show up with brute strength to help you in your situation. Availeth. Ixus, brute strength. All right, watch me. I'm going to take off my coat. Ixus. The whole idea here is, God, I got a need. Have to have some help. Nowhere else I can get it. God, would you take off your jacket? And I'm going to roll up my sleeves. Lord, would you roll up your sleeves? You say, when were you getting that crazy idea? Isaiah more than once asked God to make bare His mighty arm. He asked God to get in on the situation. He asked God to begin to move and to work. God, roll up your sleeves. Make bare your mighty arm. Avail me. Help me. Show up for me. We ought to be shouting all over this house. Energized prayer of a saved man asking God to meet him. That'll bring God in on the case. Hallelujah. then he wants to talk about Elijah. I can't go there and stay at my 11-minute promise. Probably down to 5 or 6. Elijah prayed, and guess what? Anybody believe it? It did not rain for 3.5 years. Prayer. And then Elijah prayed again, and it rained. It rained hard. He said there's a sound of abundance of rain. Anybody? He prayed the rain down. Hallelujah. How in the world is poor old Brother Bagwell going to try to end this message? He's only got 5 little circles of that second hand, 5 minutes to do it. Don't talk about Elijah in prayer. He prayed it wouldn't rain because a nation, I'll need an amen, was disobeying God. It might not hurt us to begin praying God will do something to turn our nation back the right way. You say, well, preacher, my garden would dry up. Yeah, but that's worse. That's not as bad as our church is drying up. Oh, God, hold the rain. But oh, after a period of time, and here's where I want to spend my last 3 minutes of emphasis. He prayed, and it did rain. It did rain. So if you get it, you'll know where I'm going. There shall be showers of blessings sent from the Savior above. I don't know how to... Burke County's not this way, and Taylorsville won't be this way. But I tell you, in our little churches up in the hills and over in the mountains, sometimes it gets right dry, folks. Maybe I've insulted you. I don't know. There are a lot of churches don't ever hear the Word of God. I know it's dry over there. And oh, wouldn't it be something tonight if God was to touch a bunch of hearts, if God was to energize some righteous men and women, and God was to say, I'll make bare my mighty, I'll do something if you'll pray in the rain, if you'll pray in the latter rain, if you'll pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Why, wouldn't you like to see it fall around here next week? Wouldn't you like to see it fall in your church tomorrow? Wouldn't you like to see it fall on your family, your children and your grandchildren? God send the rain. God send revival. God send your blessings. Hallelujah. The same God that can heal the sick. The same God that can help me when I'm suffering. The same God that can... That same God, He can send the rain also. It's all about prayer in James' concluding chapter. God teach us, make us men and women who pray. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. All I can do is appreciate the way you've been so attentive. Musicians are coming, they'll play. But you don't have to wait till they get in place. Somebody come to the altar tonight. I mean, if God will prompt you, if you're a mind to, if the Holy Spirit would be pleased. Somebody pray God will send the rain on our dry nation. Somebody pray God will send the rain in our places of worship. Somebody pray God will send the rain tomorrow morning about 11 o'clock as your preacher steps into the pulpit. Somebody ought to come tonight and say, Lord, energize my prayers. Lord, do something for me. Help me not to be lax, half-hearted. Lord, this situation I have, it's such a burden. Lord, I've got such a need. I bring it to you. Lord, would you reverently take your coat off? Would you roll up your sleeves? Would you make bare that dread and mighty arm of thine? Would you do something on our behalf? you know somebody tonight who's suffering? Do you know somebody tonight who's going through a trial, the time of testing in their Christian life? Why don't you come pray for them? Why don't you come ask God to strengthen them? Bless them, meet their need this very hour. Oh yeah, I see some intercessors coming down the aisles.